today as we come to the table.
God didn't go to Gideon and say, now go to everybody else's altar and tear it down. He said, you go home and you tear down your altar first. The false altars that you've built up in your house. Some of you, God's calling you to go home today and tear down some altars. Pastor Mark, what do you mean? Maybe there's some movies in your house that really shouldn't be there. It's time to tear some altars down. Maybe there's some channels on the TV that you should have blocked by now. It's time to tear some altars down. Maybe there's a lack of a stand that you've not made with your family because you're too afraid. It's time to tear some altars down, but you need to do it in love and you need to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit, because this is step number one for God to use you in any greater measure outside the doors of your own home.
Tried to fix an issue someone else had before dealing with your own? In today's message, Pastor Mark explains that just as God told Gideon to tear down his family's own idol altar first, not everyone else's. The Lord is calling you to deal with the idols and compromises you've allowed in your own life. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. It's time to tear down any altars that are placed above God in your heart. Tearing those down is step one. Only then will God use you in greater ways beyond your own home. What specific altar in your home might God be asking you to tear down today so you can walk in fuller freedom and usefulness for Him? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 6, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
As we look at verses 25 through 40 today. Now, last week, if you were with us, we looked at the call of Gideon. We talked about God giving him a call in his life. This week now, it shifts to the obedience of Gideon. And as I said, we're going to be looking at Gideon for several weeks here in a row, and we're going to see several different things about Gideon. And today, looking at obedience, here's what God is going to emphasize in Gideon's life, and I think what God really wants to emphasize, I guess, as an overall theme for us, and that is this. It doesn't matter what our call is if we don't obey it. It doesn't matter what God puts in our heart if we're not obedient to do it. And so it's great to say we hear from God. It's great to say we have a call from God, or even to understand our walk with God that He wants us to have. But if we're not being obedient to it, we need to be challenged. And this is where God is really going to challenge Gideon in a great way, because some of his greatest fears he's going to face today. And God will do the same thing with us. When He brings us to Himself, we face some of our greatest fears in obedience to the Lord. And so, but learning to be obedient and learning to be obedient quickly is what God looks for. You know, it's been said that delayed obedience is disobedience. And I believe that, because we're saying basically, God, we don't want to do what You want us to do, so we're going to delay it. And God says, you're being disobedient. Neil Martin was a member of the British Parliament. You know, the British Parliament, with all their pomp and circumstance and their big wigs and their long robes and all they do. He was giving a group tour of some visitors there to the House of Parliament. And during the course of the visit, the group happened to meet Lord Helsham, then Lord Chancellor, and all these, you know, the guys they call lords and the way they looked. And Lord Chancellor was wearing all of his pomp and regalia of his office. Helsham recognized Neil Martin among the group, and so in a friendly way cried out, Neil! Not a single person was left standing by the time he yelled Neil. All of the visitors were down on their knees in the British Parliament. Now, that's not exactly the kind of obedience he was looking for, but the point that it makes, guys, is very poignant for us today, and that is, when God says kneel, we need to kneel. When God says obey, we need to obey. And sometimes when God asks us to do that, it's very scary. And so some of you, God is asking you to do something that's very scary to be obedient to Him. And in Gideon's situation, we already know that Gideon was a very fearful, insecure man. God was calling him to lead the nation of Israel. But before God could even call him to do that, God had to get Gideon's home life in order. God had to get Gideon where he needed to be before he would be able to minister to the people around him. And that really is the first lesson we get to before we even read the first verse, and that is this. If God's going to use us with the people around us and the nation around us, he has to first get our life in order to do it. As Jesus said, you have to pluck the log out of your own eye before you'll even see clearly how to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And so God was going to deal now with Gideon, and he's going to do it in a very fearful way to Gideon. Now, it shouldn't be fearful if walking in the Spirit, but again, knowing Gideon, knowing his background, knowing his intimidatable personality, God is now going to put him to the test. And by the way, God calls us oftentimes, he calls the fearful. He calls those who feel inadequate. He calls those who sometimes feel intimidated, even with Timothy and Paul. And we have examples all through the Bible. So if you're that kind of person, again, we talked about it last week, God will use you, but you simply have to be obedient to the call. And so we're going to see the challenge to obedience, and then we're going to see the way that you have the power to be obedient today. Taking up last week, remember the Lord had appeared to Gideon, the angel of the Lord. And he gave him the call to go and deliver the children of Israel. We see that Gideon tested to see that it was God, made an offering. We saw the offering, burned up in fire before the Lord, and he disappears. And that's where we take the scene up, right after the angel of the Lord, or as we said last week, Jesus himself appearing to Gideon, has now ascended back up into heaven. And in verse 25, it says, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, 'Take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of the rock in the proper arrangement. And take the second bull and offer the burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down.'" Now again, several things to note here. First of all, God tells Gideon to take his father's young bull to sacrifice and tear down the image to Baal or Baal as wood for the sacrifice. Now, why is this significant? Because God is not only calling Gideon to get his own home in order, he's doing it in one of the most fearful ways, especially for a child, especially for one that feels insecure, and that is to challenge his father on things of the Spirit. This is very intimidating. And God is now calling because Gideon, his dad, is worshiping a false god. The altar of Baal has been built in his own property, we're going to see, because that's where it was. And again, the fact that the altar to Baal, and by the way, Baal, Baal, the same person, I think that I've been pronouncing it incorrectly. I think correctly it's actually Baal. So if you hear me say that, don't be confused by that. I'm trying to learn how to say it right myself. But the altar of Baal had been built there on the actual property of Gideon. There's a lot of indications on this. Not only was Gideon's dad involved in false worship to a false god, Gideon's dad was allowing it on his own property. And not only was it on his own property, it might even be, and the Bible doesn't tell us, but the fact that the entire town was worshiping there, we're going to see later as the town gets upset that they've torn this altar of Baal down, it might even be that Gideon's dad was a false priest. Now, again, we don't know that, so don't put that in there other than to say Gideon, regardless of the situation, Gideon is now facing a situation where his dad is worshiping a false god on a false altar, and God is saying, confront your dad. That's a scary thing. Some of you, when you gave your life to the Lord, God said, I want you to go and I want you to, in love, share Jesus with your family. And they didn't know the Lord. And you begin to share Jesus with your family and, in a sense, confront their false belief system. And for some of you, maybe God has called you to do that and you still haven't had the courage to do it. For some of you, you've done it and you were extremely intimidated, and it might even have caused a division within your family. You still did the right thing. Now, if you caused division in your family because you were rude and obnoxious, then shame on you and you need to get it right. But if you've caused division in your family because you simply stood up for the Lord and you, in love, went to your family and said, I want to share with you the truth of the Bible. We've been seeking God the wrong way. Then God honors that. You know, when I first gave my life to the Lord, I remember going to a family member who didn't know the Lord. And I began to, in love, talk about the things of God and confront them in that. And I remember, I did it in love the second time. The first time I did it totally wrong. I did it in my flesh. I did it disrespectful. And I did it wrong. And it was not received. I went back to that person. I said, you know what? What I said, I can't take back. I believe it to be true. But the way I said it was wrong, and I need to ask your forgiveness. It reestablished a relationship with that family member. No, they still didn't agree with me about Jesus, but at least they realized, all right, he's making a stand on something, but he's making a stand the right way. You see, I'm the type of person that it's very hard for me to make it, especially before being filled with the Holy Spirit. And without being filled with the Holy Spirit, I couldn't make a stand at all. And we'll talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit before we're done today. But as God filled me with the Spirit, God began to give me courage. But I'm the type of personality that I sometimes build up courage and then I blurt it out, you know, and it's almost like kill somebody in the name of Jesus rather than gently kind of come in and kind of massage the situation, which I've gotten better at now. But I wasn't that way at the beginning. And I suspect that Gideon was the same way in a lot of ways because I associate with Gideon in so many ways. So many things of insecurity and lack of confidence and all these things growing up that I experienced, I see in Gideon. And now God is saying to Gideon, now Gideon, the first thing you've got to do before I can use you in a great way is you've got to stand up to your own family. You've got to be a man and speak the truth that I'm telling you to speak. Not rudely, not obnoxiously, in love, but nonetheless in truth. And so this is where Gideon is. And again, this is extremely significant in Gideon's life if God's going to use him in any greater way. Because again, God, he has to first learn how to address his own family before he's going to be able to address the people in the nation. And he first has to get things right in his own home before God can use him in other people's homes. Guys, note that. God didn't go to Gideon and say, now go to everybody else's altar and tear it down. He said, you go home. And you tear down your altar first, the false altars that you've built up in your house. Some of you, God's calling you to go home today and tear down some altars. Pastor Mark, what do you mean? Maybe there's some movies in your house that really shouldn't be there. It's time to tear some altars down. Maybe there's some channels on the TV that you should have blocked by now. It's time to tear some altars down. Maybe there's a lack of a stand that you've not made with your family because you're too afraid. It's time to tear some altars down, but you need to do it in love and you need to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit because this is step number one for God to use you in any greater measure outside the doors of your own home. And so although this may be the most fearful thing you ever do, it is essential. And I can tell you this, when I gave my life to the Lord, it was a lot easier to walk up to somebody on the street and begin to share Jesus than to go to my own family. I could do that all day. Lord, I'll go to battle for you. Excuse me, do you know Jesus? Have you met the Lord? Now go to your own family. I'm not sure about that one. Why? Because they may reject me. They may not love me anymore. They may close the door to our relationship. And God began to challenge me. Are you more afraid of your family and are you more afraid of man than you are of me? Wow. Lord, I don't want to be, but maybe I am a little bit. Well, then deal with it, Mark. It's time to deal with it. Because if you can't stand up in love and do the right thing in front of your own family, you'll never be able to do it in the way that I want to with where I'm going to send you in ministry. So you've got to learn to do that. And I think for some of you guys, you're in the same place I am. It's a lot harder to go and share the gospel with your family than it is people you don't even know. Because again, you're intimidated and you're afraid you'll lose that relationship. Listen, here is something that set me free. And for what it's worth, maybe it'll set you free as well. If you can come to a place where you realize, all right, if I do the right thing and I share my faith with my family, they may cut their relationship off with me. That may happen. It may, especially if they're involved in some false religion or false worship. That may happen. And in the Middle East, they deal with that all the time, don't they? Islam, even in Judaism. If they leave Judaism and give their life to Jesus, or they leave Islam and give their life to Jesus, their family oftentimes considers them dead. They have no relationship with them at all. But when a person makes that kind of commitment and serious decision for the Lord, that they're willing to lay down their earthly family for the sake of God, there's nothing for the rest of their life that can stop them. Because now you've laid it all on the line. Now, ultimately, obviously, we want to get along with our families and love our families, and our families love us. But I've learned that when it comes to making a stand for the Lord, sometimes that's not always possible. And so we have to make up our mind, are we willing to do what God asks us to do, even when it's difficult? And again, with Gideon's dad, I mean, the commitment to Baal was very serious. He wasn't just a church attender at, you know, Baal Chapel. He had built an altar in his own yard. He was honoring, you know, this particular false god. And by the way, he'd even set up this pole, this Asherah pole next to it, which by the way was a symbol of sexual immorality in that day. They worshiped their false gods through sexual immorality. And so he was all in. He was promoting sexual immorality. He was promoting disobedience to God. He was doing everything. And now God takes Gideon, who's afraid to do much of anything, Gideon, right? At least at this point. And says, you know what? You need to fear me more than you fear your own family when it comes to being a testimony. And so he tells him to do this. And notice he says, get a bullock of 7 years old. Now, why is this significant as well? Understand, a Bullock back in that day, guys, this would be like the John Deere tractor, except whatever that I'm not a farmer, all right? So maybe there's a more expensive tractor, and I don't want to get the whole Chevy Ford thing going, but maybe there's a nicer tractor, and this tractor's better or whatever. Imagine the nicest tractor that your dad could have, and he comes to you and says, you know what? Your dad is using that tractor to honor a false god. I want you to go and destroy that tractor. Now, by the way, if your dad doesn't know the Lord and he's got a nice tractor, please don't go destroy it. I'm trying to make something so you understand what's happening. This was an extremely valuable farm working tool, a Bullock. It's what they plowed with. It's what they worked their farm with. It's what they worked their fields with. He said, I want you to go and take that and sacrifice it to me and tear down the altar of Baal, the false altar, and tear everything down and build an altar to me, and I want you to do it right in front of your dad. Wow. Now, those of you that have grown up maybe scared of your dad, or scared of your mom, or intimidated by an uncle. I had an uncle that scared me to death. You know, when I was growing up as a little kid, he was this great big guy. And everybody, hey, Marky, He was like this giant man to me. And every time I was around him, I was intimidated. It's funny, when I got older and I gave my life to the Lord, he became one of my best friends in my family, because he knew the Lord and I knew the Lord, and we would talk about the Lord. We had this great relationship. But I was an unsaved little kid, and he was like this giant that was scary. Some of you have people like that in your life. And God is saying, until you learn to stand as a man around those, you'll never stand for me the way I want you to in your full call that God's given you. We have to lose the fear of man. It's like he told, remember Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, how can you run with the horses if you can't run with the footmen? The point is, if you can't keep up with people on their, you know, just the normal people around you, what are you going to do when the government comes against you? What are you going to do when the legal system comes against you and you make a stand for me? And guys, we're facing that in America. We may have to make some stands that go against our legal system. What happens if they say we can no longer worship God? What happens if they say that we have to have abortions? What happens if they, now again, you think that could never happen in America. Oh, really? Listen, the way our country is going, it may be the next generation before it happens, but I wouldn't be surprised by anything our nation does at this point. And so we have to be trained up to be bold. We've got to train our kids up to be bold as well. And so again, here's the thing that Gideon is facing. And he takes this bullock of 7 years old. I think this is significant for a number of reasons. Not only was it a very valuable and important animal to his father and to working on the farm, but again, this seven-year-old animal, how many years had they been in rebellion to God? 7 years. And now God is saying, all right, enough. You've been in rebellion for 7 years. It's time to repent and it's time to turn. And again, I believe God is saying to some of us who have been in rebellion to God, enough. It's time to repent. It's been long enough. And so this was very, I think, symbolic to not only Gideon, but to those around Gideon, his dad and others, when they think about this. And also, it's interesting, the number 7 in Scripture is the number of completion, which again is God, I think, showing him, hey, I've completed my chastisement of you. Now it's time for you to repent and for your people to repent and for me to restore you as a nation. And so tear down this false altar so I can build a true altar in your life and in the altar of, or rather in the heart of the nation. And it starts in your own home, Gideon, so deal with it. And again, I think that God is dealing with some of us in that as well. I do find it interesting here that he takes this false altar to tear it down. And he says, now build a new altar on the rock. Get this. He says, take some wood, put a sacrifice on it, and place it on the rock. To look at the wood of the cross, Jesus, who has been sacrificed on that wood in our place, and to stand on our rock, Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that God calls Gideon to stand very openly and publicly. He says, don't do this secretly. Do it openly and do it publicly. Although it may cause a stir, do it, because that's going to be the witness to not only your own family, but it's going to be a witness to the nation around you. And so he says in verse 27, so Gideon took 10 men from among his servants. Now again, I don't know, let me just say on behalf of Gideon here. It says he took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord said to him, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, and so he did it by night. Now, did he take 10 men because he was afraid somebody would rush them and try to stop them? I don't know, maybe, but I do know this. The altars of Baal oftentimes were huge. They found an altar of Baal in northern Israel. We'll get to see one of the altars that was built there that's very large. Sometimes these things, this particular one they found, was over 20 feet by 20 feet in two directions, several feet high, and held together by mud cement. And then you had this Asherah pole, this big, almost like maybe a totem pole might be in your mind, the way to think of it today, that was set up beside the altar. He said, go and tear all this down. And they had to do it. He was going to do it at night because he feared his dad and he feared the men of the city. So he had to wait until nightfall. How long did it take to tear that thing apart? probably hours. So he grabs all these servants to go with him. They're probably working for hours late into the night, tearing this thing down, cutting the wood apart, putting the wood up on the rock, setting the oxen up there, killing the oxen, sacrificing it to God. This was a long process and something where no doubt he had fear the entire time. Is somebody going to see me? Am I going to get caught? What's going to happen? I don't know. But he does it at night. But guys, note this. You might say, well, Gideon, come on. God called you to do this. You need to be a man. You should have done this in broad daylight. How many of us would have had the boldness to do that in broad daylight? Imagine, for example, that there was something that God called us to do that we knew would upset all of Knoxville. And God said, I want you to go do that right now in broad day in front of everyone for my name's sake. Some of you would do it, but many of us would be afraid to do that. We may do it, but we might do it under the cover of night or some other way. This is what Gideon's doing. And before we get too harsh with Gideon, I think the key thing to note here is, yes, Gideon was afraid, but he still obeyed. That's what's key here. And some of you may be afraid to do what God is calling you to do, but here's the bottom line. It's not the fear that you need to be afraid of, so to speak. It's disobedience that you need to be afraid of. God simply says, do what I've called you to do, and I'll take care of the rest. He was obedient, and he did what God called him to do. You know, this is so interesting. I found this extremely ironic to see Gideon by night sneaking to tear down this false altar. And you know what God had called him to do, in light of what I read this week on the Huffington Post, October 6th, maybe you guys heard about this, the article, 10 Commandments Removed from Oklahoma Capitol Grounds. How many of you heard about that? Listen to this story. Listen to this. This just struck me. This week, the week we're doing Gideon, who by night, because he was afraid, went and tore down this altar. Listen to what it says. I'm reading it literally. Under the cover of night, a 6-foot-tall granite monument inscribed with the Ten Commandments was removed from the Oklahoma Capitol grounds after judges said its placement on governmental land violated state law. Along with a heavy security presence from the Oklahoma Highway Patrol, I wonder if there was 10 of them. I'm just kidding. I'm not trying to link these two. Workers began to remove the monument about 10:30 p.m. on Monday, said John Estes, a spokesman for the State Office of Management and Enterprise Services. Why do you think they did it at night? Because they thought it would cause an uproar. Why do you think Gideon was doing this at night? Because they thought it would cause an uproar. The sad thing to me, Gideon, although he did it at night because it might cause an uproar, was doing something godly, tearing down a false monument. We went and tore down a godly monument, fearing that it would do something. I'm at least glad they had some fear that people would be upset about it. But what a stark contrast. And so Gideon obeys the Lord. He tears down this altar by night. And verse 28, and when the men of the city arose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down, and the wooden image that was beside it was cut down. And the second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. So they get up that morning, and there is the altar destroyed, the new altar built, and this animal burning on the altar. And it's apparently a citywide place of worship because now the town is all upset that this has happened. Again, now you see why this was so challenging and fearful for Gideon. Not just his own family, but the fact the whole city was using this and apparently his family's property. He basically kicked them off and said, we're no longer going to do this. And notice it says, so they said to one another, who has done this thing? And when they had inquired, they asked and said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. And then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it. You know, it's interesting. In the law, in the Bible, it says that if anyone worships a false god, they're to be put to death. That was the law for the nation of Israel. And now they have fallen so far away from God as a nation, someone who's doing what's righteous for God is the one that's being threatened with his life. How does that apply to America? Guys, was this not a nation founded on the word of God and the principles of God?
Thanks for being with us today here on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. This radio program is an outpouring of the ministry happening at Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. There are many intriguing stories from the book of Judges, but one of the ones that stands out to me is the story of Gideon. He put out that fleece three times to get a clearer answer or direction from God. God worked with Gideon in this, and he showed up mightily. In fact, God wanted to show what he could do with fewer people so that his ability to come through for his people would be evident. Instead of thousands to fight against their opponent, God had Gideon go up against the enemy with a few hundred men. This is how God works many times, coming in clutch at the last minute and doing things in such an unconventional way that you can only point to God for the answer and the solution. Do you have situations that have occurred in your life where you can claim that it was all God who orchestrated it all? I know I do. And I try to remember those instances so I don't forget God's goodness and His plan in it all. If you'd like to share any of those times or situations that you've experienced, would you give us a call at 865-609-1385? We'd love to hear from our listeners about how God is working in their lives. That number again to call is 865-609-1385. You can also learn more about this ministry by going to thewaymedia.net. Thanks for learning and growing from the book of Judges here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.